Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Mats Funfantabile. I'm a PhD student at the University of British Columbia. I'll be talking about nitrous oxide emission from vineyards and orchards. This is a collaborative research conducted by researchers from the University of British Columbia and Agriculture Agri-Food Canada Summerland Station in BC. And actually, some of the researchers are here in the audience. Dr. Craig Nicol, could you raise your hand, please? Yeah. And Tom Forge, I think he's around. And Gary Nelson, could you raise your hand, please? Okay. So they are here if you want to ask more questions. Okay, so emissions from these systems are quite different from emission from annual crops, because in this system, fertilizer and water are applied in a very narrow strip of land, usually called row, while the inter-arrow is not managed, or usually grass is grown in the alleyway or inter-arrow. So in this system, there is a tendency that there is a variability, a special variability of nitrous oxide emission because of the concentrated application of water and nitrogen. And also, these systems tend to emit more emission compared to annual crops. The study was conducted in the Okanagan Valley here in British Columbia, which is the southern western end of Canada. It has a similar climate and landscape as Napa Valley here in California. It has a very low precipitation, and it also has very warm summer days. What's different about this valley from Napa is we do get snow. There is a frequent freeze and thaw events, and which are of course important in terms of greenhouse gas emission. Early industry in the area use for all irrigation or overhead sprinkler, but as the area become stressed in weather, more growers are using other alternatives such as micro irrigation, irrigation through drip or micro spray irrigation in order to save water. Some growers also use various types of mulch in order to suppress evaporation. Here, a wood mulch is being used in a vineyard. There is also a need in the area to optimize nutrient management, either through fertigation or using a synthetic fertilizer or other alternatives such as compost. But the effect of this management practices in the area on nitrous oxide emission is not well understood. In fact, we are the first one to do long-term monitoring in this semi-arid climate. Now, just to give you an idea what happens when you apply water and nitrogen through the irrigation system, in drip irrigation, that water tends to be accumulated in a belt around the dripper area, and the nitrogen as well, which has the potential to become a denitrification hotspot. But if you apply the same amount of water and the nitrogen in spray, the water will be spread all over the area, kind of, but at lesser concentration. The same is true for nitrogen. If you add on mulch to drip, what happens is the mulch not only suppresses evaporation, it tends to spread the water a little bit further, and also it tends to maintain the water on the topsoil. And a similar thing occurs when you apply mulch in spray irrigation. So the aim of the project was to find out which of these conditions are better in terms of mitigating NO2 emissions. And to do that, the Merlot was planted in 2012 and in a sandy loam soil, and the treatment was established the same year. And it involves two types of irrigation, drip and spray. The irrigation was based on application of the same application of the water that has been transpired the previous day. And that was applied in four splits every 8 hours over 24-hour period. And three nitrogen sources, the same amount of nitrogen as compost, urea, and urea plus some other nutrients. But we didn't measure greenhouse gas in this plot. And the third factor was surface cover. The surface was either covered with mulch or it's clear, which means no mulch. So this is a factorial design with three factors, two levels each. And this is a picture, a photograph showing you two sets of experiments. The first set, 12 mini chambers were used to measure spatial distribution of greenhouse gas over a short period of time in the summer, 2013. And the second set of experiments, long-term monitoring over 2 years, 2013, and it's continuing now. This is the only part I'll be talking today. And this is a diagram showing the location of raw chamber, which is this chamber, and alley chamber, this chamber, with respect to vine or dripper. Results, this is a graph showing nitrous oxide emission across all treatments and also temperature, the black line. And as you can see, there was a big spike during the spring thaw event, and it stayed for some weeks and then decreased over time until the irrigation was started. And it also increases during fertigation period. And generally, it tends to decrease after fertigation while it's being irrigated. And there are ups and downs here. And also here, you see that mulch was applied around June, and the nitrogen, the emission, sharply decreases for some time and picks up later. And the ups and downs here are, I think, probably because of intense rain even during July and August. June end of July. And we also tried to calculate the amount of the seasonal contribution of these three growing seasons, three seasons for the total greenhouse gas emission, and we were surprised to find that 42% of the total emission occurred during the growing season, between January and May, in the 4 months here, and only 57% occurred during the growing season, and in the 2 months here, a very low emission. So the message here is you have to monitor. If you are in a climate where the ground freezes and thaws, you have to measure year-round, otherwise you will be underestimating as much as 42% if you just measure growing season emission. If you have to skip, if you need a break, I think these 2 minutes are where you need to be taking a break. This is a similar graph just showing you across treatments, drip, spread, and also functional location. As you can see, most often, the emission in drip irrigation is much higher than spray irrigation. Spray irrigation is about the same as the alleyway emission. And we try to calculate the emission underneath these curves. These are measurements taken, I think, about 48 measurements over a year. So we integrate the area underneath and come up with the total annual emission, which is this slide, and we found out that the emission in spray irrigated cloth are much less than the drip irrigated cloth, about half. That means 3 kilograms nitrogen per hectare per year, the spray irrigated cloths emit. And the spray was about the same as early, and these 2 kilograms is, in terms of the amount of nitrogen applied, is 5% of the 40 kg applied. Interestingly, also there was no difference in yield across treatment. So the yield scale emission remains similar as area scale emission. And yield scale is very important from agronomic point of view, because the growers care about the yield than the emission. Second factor was the mulch, and the emission in mulch was significantly lower than normal treatment, and a similar yield scale emission was observed for mulch and no mulch. The third factor was fertilizer form, and compost treatment emits much lower than urea plots. And the same is true for yield scale emission. That was all about grape and a bit different treatment in apple. There were two frequency irrigation. The same amount of water was applied for every day or every second day using drip irrigation. The second factor, nitrogen rate, 20 or 40 gram nitrogen, and similar surface cover, clear mulch and fabric. We didn't measure emission in fabric because it was physically impossible to do so without damaging the fabric. So what we found is the emission in every second day treatment was much lower than every day treatment. So in other words, the more you irrigate, the more you get emission despite you apply. The more frequently you irrigate, you get the more emission you get despite you apply the same amount of water in both cases. The second factor that was mulch, interestingly, the mulch, there was no statistically significant difference between the mulch and the normal treatment, as opposed to what we have seen in grape. But the difference here is, the mulch was applied in 2012, but we measured in 2013. So it was a year old. But in grape, the mulch was fresh. It was applied 2013 and measurement was taken the same year. So it's not clear whether the age of mulch has an effect, or also here it's a different soil type, sandy loam. It was loamy sand in here in sandy loam, but it was loamy sand in grape. So we are not certain about the effect of mulch. Some summary. So year-round monitoring is important. Otherwise, you may underestimate emissions, especially if you are in a climate where the ground freezes and thaws. Those are the periods where we saw high emission. And drip irrigation emits much more nitrous oxide compared to spray irrigation. And the more you drip, the more you get emission. And urea was higher than compost. And mulch is complicated. Hopefully, by the end of this year, which is the second year of the experiment, we may come up with a certain answers for mulch, whether the mulch has an effect when it's freshly applied, or whether mulch, the effect of mulch is variable over different soil types. So hopefully by the end of the year. I'd like to acknowledge a number of folks involved in the, which helped in accomplishing this project. With that, I'll be happy to take your questions.
Before, I don't think our next speaker is here, but in case our next speaker, Chin, is here, then we should move on. But if not, we have time.
Okay. That's good.
So you know this permit, why is much, why is not covered, right?
Much?
Much. Cover the soil surface, right?
Yeah, the mulch was applied.
Mulch
increases water use efficiency because it suppresses evaporation. At the same time, it adds carbon for the soil, and we were expecting high emission in mulch because moisture content was high, but in contrast, we found lower emission in mulch. Maybe I think that's mainly associated with the availability of nitrogen. Nitrate in mulch, it was pretty low. Another question?
Thank you.
Thank you.